So the topic that Rav Natanael illegally posted out, I was going to speak about, and he never even asked me, was Bim Kovea Itim Latoira in the business world. Okay, sounds good. I'll let you know how to do that when I know. No. Somebody said to me yesterday, you know, I heard your topic, it's not a good topic. I said, why? He said, because you're a Rebbe in yeshiva. I go, no, but I was fired. I'm not really a Rebbe here. And I said, maybe it's actually the greatest example. Here I am, a business person, right? CEO of a company. Fancy schmancy. If you even know how much money I got, you wouldn't be so impressed. And I have the whole morning off. I start work at like 3-something. So what can I do with my time? I'll tell you, there's a basketball game going on right now with my friends. I should go play basketball. I can go to the gym and actually lose some of the catering weight I've gained. But instead, I come here and teach. My wife often has asked me, why do I come back to Yeshiva Leva Torah after they treated me the way they did? Why am I here? Why? So I said, it's this or, you know, what do you want me to do? Gamble? What do you want me to do? You know, I'm saying, what am I going to do? Sell drugs in the street? This is my drug. I like this.
They have good domino games in the Heights.
So, I always joke about it's dead winter and there's an ice cream truck going around. And not selling ice cream. Okay, so you hear the... Yeah, okay, that's selling ice cream at 20 degree weather. Okay, sure. So maybe I am a good example. Because maybe I can impart on you how I've kept in the world of Torah. And give you tips. That's really what I want to do. To be kovei itim la-Torah. Set aside time, Torah. We know the famous questions... The Rabbanu Shalom is going to ask you, Acham Eir, you ask him, Shana, right? So, the second question, by the way, not the first question, but this, according to one Gemara, is, right, the first question is, Nasata Nasat Be'emunah, were you honest in your business dealings? Perfect segue for me, who's supposed to be a business person. And then it says, Kavei Yitim Otar. So you should realize that on the top of everything in your life, of learning, is that learning is part of how you're going to live your life. The first lessons from the Lev that we gave, right? Or am I going to live my life as a Torah Jew and not be one guy in the shul and one guy in business? That's for sure, you have to be that. So, I want to split this year up into two. The first is, I'm sure, something that you heard, you probably even heard it from me, but it's something that I quote very often, and it is the key. Kovei Itim LaTorah, in my opinion, actually has to do with something else. And that's Kovei Itim LeMinyan. I think that there's no way a person can do both. Cannot do both, excuse me. They both come with each other. A person has to set that minyan three times, that minyan, I didn't say davening, minyan three times a day is an integral part of his life. It is his lifeblood. He does nothing but that as the goal. I was commenting to a, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but as a Shana Aleph student yesterday, who I happened to be, he was sitting next to me at Mincha. And I noticed that he davened Shemona Esrei twice. He was also wearing tefillin at 4 o'clock. So I thought I was close enough to the student, and I said to him, can I ask you a question? Why did you daven Shmoneh Esrei twice? He goes, I know you're not a real rabbi, so I'll explain to you. It's called Tashlumim. I said, ooh, very interesting. What's the din of Tashlumim? I played stupid. What's the din of Tashlumim? He goes, oh, Rebbe, let me explain to you. Because I know a lot, because I went to yeshiva now for 3 months. I know. Tashlumim is when you didn't daven one tefillah, you're allowed to daven the second tefillah. So why didn't you daven the first week? He goes, oh, I didn't daven Shachar. I go, well, why not? As it happens to be, I taught you this morning, so you were up. He says, I know, but Talmud Torah Kenega Kula. I says, ooh, now you're really schooling me, because that halacha I wasn't aware of. I so explained to him that Tashlum, this is not Tashlum. This is, in my opinion, called a Tefilas Toeva. You had the opportunity to daven in the morning. Okay, so instead of waking up for minyan in the morning, you woke up first at 9:30, and you ran downstairs to have kavod for your Rebbe, and then you found out the Hartstein was teaching, but okay. You come down, and you see that, but you don't daven. And now you have a break, he doesn't daven the whole day, I said, this is horrible. You can't daven at 3 o'clock, 3:30. I said, your day has to start with a bookend that's called tefillah. We're going to get to, in a moment, obviously, they're learning also. And it has to end, it's an end with tefillah, but shachris mincha ma'ariv. And I have to tell you, in the business world, hardest tefillah is mincha. Mincha is an invented tefillah by the Rabbanu Shalom and Yitzchak Avinu. But it's really hard when mincha is at 4 something. And you're working, where, how are you going to chop a mincha? So I'm really super lucky. Because number one, I have a boss who appreciates my craziness about davening in a minyan. And I happen to work in Toadwood, New Jersey, which is not near any religious community. Because Pseig is 50 minutes away, Teaneck is 25 minutes away. So I started to do the research. Now, in my company, we happen to be a Jewish catering company, but we have mostly non-Jewish workers. We have about 7-8 from people in our working there, which is not 10. Once in a while, we get lucky and we have 10. So what do we do? So I found a minyan. All you have to do is call around a little bit. So I called around a little bit, and I found a minyan. First, I found a minyan in this one place at 3 o'clock. It was actually very funny. It was advertised as 4 o'clock. I know there's these minyan guys. Like, you know, you should get this GPS, the GPS thing. What's it called? Kosher GPS. So I found the minyan at 4 o'clock. I'm so excited. So I go there. And I get there at 4 o'clock. It happens to be, it's called Dvash Farms. It's a sales office for a Chalv Yisrael company, which was weird because the company smells highly of milk. But they don't actually make milk there. Why does it smell like milk? I don't know. Fine. So I get there and like, oh, he says, you're here for mincha? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, we daven at 3 o'clock every day. Okay. So I miss mincha that day. They decided to change it. And now there's another minyan even better, 12:30. At a place called, I just went there. I forget the name of it. I was going to give it an advertisement. So I didn't know what they made, what they were, until you walk in and you're like, this is a spice place. The spices are they're a spice company. And they have a minyan there. So you could find minyanim, it's beautiful. Find minyan at 12:35, they daven, beautiful. Kovei itim l'toyer. You're going on vacation, you're going to figure out mincha. My day revolves around, am I going to daven at 12:45 mincha? Am I going to come back to this mincha, to that mincha? That's what I did. That's what my life. That's number one. I know that's not kovei itim l'toyer, but that's your key. You guys know the famous mimer of the Maharal. The Maharal quotes, it's not a Gemara. A lot of people quote this as a Gemara. It's not a Gemara. But it's in the Bryson Torah's Kahanim. Everybody knows the Hafla Recha Kamocha, Zeklal Gadol B'Torah, right? Everybody knows that. So says the Nesiva Soilim, the Maharal, the actually continues. Ein Yaakov quotes this as well. Ben Zoyma Omer, Matzah Matzinu Pasuk Kolel Yoyseru. What's the Pasuk that defines Judaism as a whole? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Sounds good. That's the one. I would vote for that one. You jump on a grenade, right? Roy Klein says, Shema Yisrael. That's it. That's the one. Rav Nanda says, no. Pasuk Kol is the Hachdarecha Kamoicha. Okay, more politically correct. We should love everyone like ourselves. Good. Right? He was Rav Nanda, was a Breslov Chassid. So he says, I'm kidding. So then he says, Shimon Ben Pazi says, oh, this was a bad one. Pasuk, Matsinu Pasuk Kolo, the who is a Kevaz Lachata Sena Bedem Boker. That one makes no sense. Okay, let's continue. Bez Hasheni to Sebed Abayim. Omad Rav, Ployni the Oymer? Halacha kin ben pazi. Maral's like, what? God bless you. What happened? Shema Yisrael Mimela, I understand. The Atharech Chachmach, I understand too. Es HaKevaz Lachat Sena Ben Boker. That doesn't make any sense. Says the Maral, it makes a lot of sense. Because that's the essence of a Jew, is Kivius. That's Retzef, says the Maharal. Doing something in and out every day. I bet you the coin woke up some morning and said, oh God, I got to bring the korba now. I'm so not feeling it. It's cold outside. It's so cold. I'm trying to figure out why in New York, I left New York, it was like 25 degrees, and here it's 60 degrees, and I wake up in the morning like freezing. I'm like, but it's 50 degrees. I don't understand. Okay, fine. It's freezing outside. I don't want to bring the korban. I brought it anyway. Yes, you should have brought it with the slavas and with all the hinini muchens. Sometimes the Maharal says, you wake up in the morning and, as we say in Yiddish, it's not so ois gehalten. Not so great. I'm not having a good morning. It's okay. It's okay. Not having good, okay. But I do it anyway. Shachar's, I'm not going to daven shachar's because I have a cold. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say this anyway. I got in trouble with this story. Hopefully my wife won't listen to this.
TBC
one? So, no, that was the first one. So, you have to remind me what the TBC one is. Anyway, so, no, this is a dating story. So, I was going out with a girl, wasn't my wife, before I was married. And, you tell a story, you gotta, you know, tell. And, it's a Saturday night, and a friend of mine says, I'll see you tomorrow morning at Shacharis. This is Sunday morning. Optional Shacharis, right? Sunday morning. And I said to him, unless I die, you'll see me at Shacharis. That's what I said. It wasn't a put on. Anyway, I get in the car and the girl's like, oh my God, I love you. Oh my God. I'm like, what? She's like, I can't believe you just said that. Like, that's why I totally like you so much. I'm like, what? I had no idea what you're talking about. She's like, did you hear what you just said? I'm like, no, I didn't even remember what I just said. She said, unless I die tomorrow, of course I'll go to Minyan. Because that's the type of guy I'm looking for. Anyway, she dumped me. But, not for now. Not for why you tell her. But what was the point of that? Yeah. Yeah. Right? If I was sitting with the Tferet girls now, obviously not, they wouldn't let me speak to them. But if they did, I would say the following. What would I say to them? I would say, why Torah? Come on. I would say, I didn't say that. I would say, you know, I got in trouble. Okay. I would say to them, that's what you want in a boy. You want a boy, you want a bracher whose minion is esakeros achatas en aboker. I don't care. I'm going out on a date. My wife will say this when I went out with her. She remembers how crazy I was. Our dates revolved around where we're going to daven, we're going to find a minion, da-da-da. She's going to kill me sometimes. Right? But that's what it was. So I'm not going to daven mincha. My wife actually says to me, I was a very bad first date. I was bad. Baruch Hashem, my wife is a balas chesem stucca, so she married me. But she said one of the few things that impressed her about me, very few things, was that the first date, when the meal was over, I said, do you mind if I say Dvar Torah? And she's like, wow. I said, well, you know, I'm supposed to tell you Dvar Torah at every meal. And just because I'm eating with a girl doesn't mean you can't. I want to give Torah. And as my wife says, from then on, we've never had a meal where there's not Divrei Torah. And that's important. Because that's a Keves HaChatzos Shena Boker. I'm Jewish. I'm religious. And I'm making excuses for it. And just because it's a Sunday, don't get me wrong, there's times I didn't dine with the minion. And unfortunately, I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because, you know, every flight that I take once a month, I miss a minion or two, right? Not every flight has a minion, and sometimes I try not to actually daven unless it's a situation where I feel it's not a Chil Hashem. I don't daven on the plane with a minion unless sometimes they actually let them. Well, the last few flights I've gone on, they've actually asked permission of the flight crew, and they told them where to daven and what time to daven, so maybe that's mutter. But it's very hard for me to put tefillin on myself. I just had to take a flight from, my flight on Thursday was from France, from Switzerland. So I have a new, like, I found a new place to daven in Switzerland. There was nobody from on the flight. So when I get off the flight, I have like an hour between flights. So I go to the club, and in the club, they have an outdoor area where you can watch the planes take off. It's very, very private, and it happens to be in Switzerland now. Netzachama is like 8:15 in the morning. So the sun's just coming up. It's really beautiful davening, but it's not a minion. It's not a minion. And I want to be a minion man. A minion man also comes with being kovei itim l'toyer. As Zakeros Achad HaSein HaBoker teaches us the following, and this is, I think, very good advice. It's helped me a lot. When you, I know your tefillin bags are probably really small, little tefillin bags are that horrible case thing that I don't like. You know, the hermetically sealed, I don't like it because of halachic problems of the Rosh, the Shel Yad, Mishal Rosh, whatever, it's fine for now. Whatever. Not for now. But I'm sorry, but maybe you should have another one because in there should not just be a sitter. There should be a safer. Could be a small safer. There should be a safer that every morning, no matter what, before you leave davening, you learn that safer. I don't care if it's a lesson a day. I don't care if it's, you know, Chavetz Chaim, it's Mishnah Berurah, it's 24/7. It doesn't matter. That's not my point. The point is that you learn something every day before you leave davening. And you know that I've learned. I'm not talking about learning something. Say, well, I said you have a Recha Hashem and Yishmerecha after Berachas Torah. No, I learned something. I have to tell you, and please don't take this the wrong way. I'm not tuning a horn here. You know, I started doing this when I moved here to Israel, a few years into it actually, and I decided that I'm going to do Mishnah Berurah, two halachas a day. That's it. Nothing. Guess what? Right? In the summer. Lo and behold, I did it kind of out of order because when it was a chag, so I did. And lo and behold, in the summer, I start looking and I see that I have no more halachas to learn. I'm done. I finished Mishnah Berurah. Two halachas a day. I don't know, it took me 7 years, something like that. I was really excited because it's not fake. It actually turned out to be the 9 days. So I thought I could do a siyum. Anyway, I called my own Rabbanim, and they're like, you can't do a CM on Mishnah Berurah. I'm like, really? It took me 7 years? Like, I don't think so. Anyway, I felt bad about that. But I should have done some sort of Seudah or something. My point is, I'm a regular working guy. Right? Forget about the rabbi thing. I'm a regular working guy. So how did I finish Mishnah? How did I do that? First of all, very important point. Ready for this? You're going to have to stop that. Very important point is, I have something called a pencil that's in my Mishnah Berurah. I have like in one of the many Mishnah Berurahs. And I underline and I write a note. Because I want to remember. It's very hard to remember. The greatest thing when you hear a shir ever, this is what I do when I hear a shir, I actually write notes. So I can remember sometimes. If I said to you now, guys, that's not a good example. Somebody else is giving a shir, a normal person is giving a shir. And I said to you, I want you to be able to give. I can't go to the shir. Can you give the shir over to me? So what are you probably going to have to do? You probably have to take some notes because you're not going to remember everything he says. If you treated every shir you listen to like that, your life's going to be different. And that's what I do. It's a fake old thing. Did I have to write notes now? Right? I have this chus in the mornings when I'm in America. I have an amazing jet lag in America. I really love the jet lag. I wake up at like 5 in the morning every morning. So Rabbi Soloski gives a morning kolol at 6:20 in the morning, which is already late for me. So I go to that kolol. He's teaching chulin at 6:20 in the morning. Holy cow. Right? So when I get one of those sheets, right? Oh yeah. I go, look. I think I'm lying. Look at this. Here's one of the sheets. I got everything. It's a little weird because I'm only there 2 weeks out of the month, right? So, but I have notes on everything. I missed the first two sources because that was the day I was in America. I was in Israel. But that's what I do. Why? Because I want to listen. I don't want to be half asleep. And when I go to sleep at night, I also do this. I have another sefer that I learn when I go to sleep at night. Where it's Parsha, it's Rasha. It's not important what it is. Leave a chafetz, but what you guys like. That's my sefer at night. That's what I learn. Nesiyas Yisharim, you can fit as Nesiyas Yisharim in a matter of, it's amazing. Again, I underline it, I write a note, I have a highlighter. These are not chidushim of, oh, he's a rabbi. No, this is a push thing. I'm not talking about the middle of the day yet. I'm not talking about the middle of the day yet. That's, hi, I'm religious, this is what you have to do. I daven 3 times a day, and I learn the morning, learn at night. That's not kovei yitun l'toyer, even. That's like pasha. That's like, I'm a human being of the Orthodox race. Then, I gotta learn. Over the last 2 weeks, I've become very fond of Daf Yomi. Because I see what it does to people. Baruch Hashem, I went to the Daf Yomi, to the Siyum in that life. It's a little bit different than the tailgating parties that I've gone to. There were no tailgating parties I know of. Oh, actually, I saw a picture of a guy that actually did have a tailgate party. He brought hot dogs and stuff. But I think that you have to develop something. The reason why Daf Yomi is so good is that, number one, it forces you to do at least one daf a day. And even if you could give me all the excuses in the world, I'm not going to remember it. Okay, you just did a daf of Gemara. Shkayach. there's no way I'm going to, you know, there's a joke that they say that people, everybody does brachos for Daf Yomi, and then Pesach Shabbos comes. So what do they say? Boy Shabbos, boy Menucha. Everybody, that's it. We're done. We fall asleep. So what? So once every 7 years, 7.5 years, you did brachos. That's so bad. But doing the accomplishment is so amazing. Oh, it's balabatish. Okay. Like, you guys are all learning a daf a day and something else. It's not so bad. Maybe Ari Liris told this story of Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss said that he thought it was very important to keep with the Jews and do daf yomi, right? I think Rabbi Salusky is the same thing. They're learning a lot more than a daf a day. But he felt like, how can you not do it? So, besides the fact that they say Rav Asher Weiss finishes Shas like every year, but he thinks it. So he doesn't have time during the week to do it. So on Shabbos, big deal. So on Shabbos he does, you know, 7 daf.
50.
Right. The 50, so what was the 50? What's the
it's
reason?
50 daf on Shabbos.
Yeah, so, but that's for something else, no?
No, it's to finish Shas.
To finish Shas every year, right.
It's the Torah.
Right, right. So there are people who want to be with the daf. First of all, I could talk to you. Imagine I could talk to any Jew who's learning daf Yomi and say, ooh, do you see the, this week's daf, right? I'm on a plane going to Switzerland, and a guy from Switzerland says to me, psh, what do you think about the machalikas over there with Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbah? We're on the same daf. It's beautiful. So I'm a big fan of daf then. But maybe daf's not your thing. Maybe I go to Gemara. It bothers me when Talmidim say to me, Rebbe, don't worry about it, I'm still learning. Once a week I go to a Fabregin at the local Chabad house and he teaches me a little bit about Tanya. That's not learning we're talking about. Itim LaTorah is, I set a time. There's a time factor here. I set aside time no matter what in my day. And honestly, I really don't care what it is, what you learn. And I don't care, you know, I'll tell you a fascinating story. I was at a shiva house of Chaim Stein. So his granddaughter used to live across the street from us. The mother was sitting shiva, I forget already. So they told a story that Rav Chaim Stein was a great Rav. He was a great Rav. He's from Kells in Chicago. And there used to be a thing that they used to do that when you got married, so they would make you promise. Right? I think Mordechai Gifter had this, that he would say to the Bachar, he says, I won't marry you, I won't be your Masada Kedushin unless you promise me you're going to learn an hour a day. And people would say to Rav Chaim Stein, Rebbe, I'm learning now like 16 hours a day. What do you mean? He goes, trust me. Right, because what happens? You get married, you start to have children. Wow. An hour a day sometimes is real difficult. You're on vacation, you're on this. It's not so easy. Your kids are good. So he tells a story about a guy who was Rav Chaim Stein's Talmud. His son was getting married. His son wasn't so firm. So the son comes and the son says, Rebbe, it's my zchus that you're marrying me, but I know your shtick about the hour a day. I don't learn an hour a week. I don't learn an hour a month. I'm not so firm. He says, listen very carefully. I will embarrass you under that chuppah. I'm not going to do the wedding an hour a day. It's got to be an hour a day. So there was some negotiation there, I think. I think they got to 45 minutes or 30 minutes. I forgot what he said. And this guy afterwards said, it changed my life. Because I never forgot. But just as an ending of the story, when Rav Chaim Stein's wife passed away, she was that day of the funeral. They got back, it was very late at night. They briefly sat Shiva, and he was an old man already. And he went upstairs to go to sleep. His family was there to, you know, he was old. And all of a sudden, they hear him get up. It's like 1, 2 in the morning. And he's walking around, like, oh, you know, and they go upstairs, and they say, what? What are you doing, Zaidi? Why are you up? He says, I can't believe it. I forgot to learn. I didn't learn my hour in the day. He says, you didn't learn an hour today? Rebbe, your wife just died. You're an oval. You don't have to... He says, I know, but I can learn halacha shalahem. I can learn the halachas that are nogev. He says, it was remarkable that this old man was getting up at 2 in the morning. An hour a day sounds crazy, maybe, to some. And to some people, oh, an hour a day? I'm in YU. I learn, 8 hours a day. There should be a commitment of Kovea Itam LaTorah, something along those lines. My final point, which is supposed to be the second half of the share, but I'll just say it in a few minutes, is this is all fine and dandy, but it's got to include something that we forgot about. And that is, Rebbe, you gave a great shiur, except I'm not like you, because I don't like Torah. It's not fun for me. I like visiting yeshiva. I like getting Oreo cookies and free meals. But it's not fun, Torah. So maybe I should have started with this. Torah has to be fun. You have to figure out how you love Torah. Funny, not funny, but my daughter related a Dvar Torah over Shabbos from one of her favorite Parshanim, not the Ramban, but Sivan Rahiv Meir. And she said, she didn't say what she quoted. You know, Sivan, she's a professor in YU this year. She's a famous reporter in Israel. Stern, so yeah. So they're visiting, whatever. And so she said, Bekerev Aretz, the Yigdul Arov Bekerev Aretz will be like fish on the land. How can you be fish on the land? Fish don't live on the land. So she gave the vort that we have to be with society and realize that we have to be like fish and sometimes integrate with the society. Fine, whatever. So I said to her, it reminds me of the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Samach Aleph, where Tana Rabbanan Pam Achas Gizer Malchus Harasha Osku Yisrael Batoira. They talk about how there's the Gezerah that you're not allowed to learn Torah. So Pappas Ben Yehuda comes to Rabbi Akiva and says, are you crazy? How are you teaching Torah Berabim? Kilos, kilos of Berabim, Vaiski Batar, you're going to die. He says, Amrullah, Emshalucha, Lamashalamar, Davidoymer, I'm going to tell you a parable. Lishua. You better know this story. It's the greatest story. Lishua, Shahaya Mahalach, Al Gav Hanahar. A Shua. What's a Shua? Fox is going on the Rosh Hanahar. And what does he see? He sees the fish going back and forth on the riverbank, and he can't believe what's going on. They're fleeing back and forth. And he says, "Bedugim shayim mitkapsim mimakum lamakum. Amar lahem ibnei ma temborchim. What are you running away from?" They said, "Rishatot. Look, they put out these big nets. They're going to kill us. These fishermen." Amar lahem says the shual, "Ritzonchem shetalu liyavashar. Come, you can live with me. V'nidar ani v'yatchem." Kishem Shedaru Avosa Imachem. Rav Asher Weiss loves this story. He says, this guy's such a liar. He says, come on my back and you'll live with me like your forefathers, like the fish and the fox always got along and lived together. Huh? Amrulo ata she'omrim elecha pikeach shebachayos. Your fox is called, I heard that you're supposed to be the smartest of all animals. Lo pikeach ata elatipesh ata. You're stupid. We're not allowed to say that word in my house, but I said it. Tipesh ata. I can't live on the ground. I'll die. He goes, and now, he says, because fish have to stay in the sea, we need the water. And what's the water, says Rav Asher Weiss? It says this Gemara, obviously. It's the Torah. The Torah is the water. I can't live without Torah. You idiot. You think you're going to live with you? I don't want to live with you. I don't believe you that we live together. Whenever we try to live together, it never worked out. Look at lessons from the lay from Parsha Shmois that we said about half hour ago. Doesn't work. I need Torah. Ki heim chayinu v'yaruch yameinu. I can't live without it. I'm ready to die. What is Rav Kiva said? I can't live without Torah. But what is he trying to get at? Says Rav Asher Weiss. I love Torah. I'm addicted to Torah. Comes at a perfect day because Rav Goldach is here for today. I apologize. I went a little bit over. But my message number one is Kovei Itim LaTorah is to set timidim, consistent benchmarks that you do every day no matter what happens in your life. And at minimum, you daven 3 times a day with a minyan and you learn in the morning and the night. At maximum, you dedicate yourself to svarim that you're going to learn because you've developed a sense of love of learning. And if you haven't yet, find it. YU Torah has thousands of rabbeim. You know, I went on this Shabbaton, so somebody came up to me, more than one person, Baruch Hashem, I'm very zeichet to this, and said to me, "Oh my God, you're Rabbi Hartstein? I listen to you on YU Torah." And my immediate response always is, there's a lot of other better Rebbeim you can listen to. You know, there's thousands of, you know, find somebody else. You know, find your Rebbe. They say, "Wow, I didn't realize this is really fun. I like Rabbi Leibowitz. Oh wow, his 10-minute halacha is amazing. Rabbi Siva." Find something that you can treat your Torah into a shashua. It's fun. I enjoy it. You might be a Mishnah guy, and you found your Mishnah Yomi person who's amazing. Maybe you found, you know how many Daf Yomi Shurim, different Rabbeim, different? Great. One of my neighbors said he's so excited he found this year of this Rebbe who gives Daf Yomi in 16 minutes. Ha! That Daf Yomi I could do. He said, good. The Torah has to be fun and exciting to you. That's the only way you're going to accomplish in life. My bracha to you is that you continue inspiring, continuing getting the shashu of Torah, continue recharging your batteries, and recognizing how important it is, ashreichem, that you are here to return and learn. It sets an amazing standard for the Shana Aleph boys and the Shana Bet boys that are there, that you didn't go to Aruba in the Bahamas and Daytona Beach, and you're dedicating yourself here. So I give you a tremendous bracha. You should continue in that path and follow the ways of our Avos and dedicating, being Koveh Itim LaTorah, and only good things for you. Brachas and Atzlachas and Buhus for all that you do. And continue giving Nachas to us and to the Yeshiva. Ad Me'evi Esrim, B'Yitzchak Goel Tzelig, Me'evi Yamein, Amen.